KFSR presents First Ladies Focus, the personal stories behind people who love Fresno State. Featuring Fresno State's First Lady, Mrs. Mary Castro, and KFSR Program Director, Julie Logan, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Julie Logan, along with my co-host, Fresno State's First Lady, Mrs. Mary Castro. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Julie.
Thanks for joining us this morning. We're excited to have another very special guest with us today. And as always, Mary has the introductions.
Well, keeping along our theme of interviewing some of the most recently recognized top dogs, we're very fortunate to welcome Fresno County Supervisor Debbie Pachigian. And she is the top dog for the College of Health and Human Services. Welcome, Debbie.
Thank you. Thanks, Mary.
So nice to meet you. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Oh, thank you.
And the Top Dog Gala, that was just spectacular this year. The team that put it together, they did an amazing job. I think they're getting better every single year. How did you feel as a person being recognized going through the process?
First of all, it was a beautiful evening. I don't think it could have been any better. And through the months after I got the initial call, I mean, they were just great, just so professional. And I just loved it. The evening, everything for me was perfect. I've been to a lot of the Top Dog events,
yes.
And they're always nice. Uh-huh. They're nice all the time. But this one was extra special.
And did you have family in attendance? I know you have a pretty big family.
I did. I have a huge family, and we had four tables of guests.
Wow. Oh, okay.
My kids attended, of course, and all my first cousins. I invited my first cousins to come, and they all came, and we had a huge crowd. And then Elaine Mason, the professor that had recommended me for the Top Dog, she came and joined us as well at our table.
Oh, she is such a fabulous woman,
She's so wonderful.
Well, that's a great honor to have her be the person who submitted your name.
She is just great. She was actually my tennis coach when I was here at Fresno State.
I'm not surprised by that. So all three of the kids were there?
Yes, all three of them.
And the grandbabies, were they there
too?
No,
we didn't bring the little ones. Mm-hmm. Well, they're not the little. They're 10, 8, and 6. But we just thought that it was
It's
a long night, and it was more of an adult thing. But they saw all the pictures.
Oh, good deal. So I know that one of the ways that they recognized you, because I don't think people understand all of the different type of events and things that you appear and do when you are a top dog. One of the things, there was a breakfast of champions that the College of Health and Human Services did, and I attended, and I just loved that they had your face on a Wheatie box. I thought that was amazing.
They did, and it said breakfast of champions, and my face was there on the poster, and the centerpieces were the Wheaties boxes, and I took them home. I haven't given it to the grandchildren yet, but I know that they're going to get a little kick out of it.
That has got to be one of the greatest things to have. You're like, okay, what has your grandma done? Well, look at what my grandma is. She is on a Wheatie box. So do the grandkids understand kind of what was happening with you and what a big honor it was how fantastic their grandma is?
Oh, well, I don't know about that. I'm not sure that they did. You know, we have three children. Two of them came to Fresno State. Our first and oldest went to UCLA, but he's a Bruin. That's okay. We had two Bulldogs.
So two out of three. At least we got the majority.
Two out of three is not bad. And I'm not sure what the grandchildren, I mean, you know, we talked about it and... Mm-hmm. And they do get a kick out of sometimes seeing me on TV. Our meetings are broadcast on Tuesdays, and so they watch that and kind of get a kick out of it. But I don't know. But they are Bulldog fans. I know that. So we'll see.
You mentioned them watching you in action when it's televised. Had they have an opportunity to actually go there to your meetings and be in the audience?
No, they haven't. They were there the day I was sworn in as chairman. They've come twice now. I was chairman twice, and they were there for that. But they haven't come back in between. They've been there for the special first meeting of the year type
because
thing.
Being in the room is impressive in and of itself, but I think to sit through a meeting and to actually see what happens as an adult, it's impressive. I would think that as a child and seeing somebody that you already love and respect up there being a part of making decisions that affect the county would be even more meaningful.
I went and did a lesson at Valley Oak Elementary. I did a lesson on Fresno County, and then I promised the kids that I would put up a sign that says, Hi Valley Oak, which I did, and it was broadcast. I put it right in front of me.
Oh.
So for that next meeting, it said, Hi Valley Oak.
They could see it.
And so they could see that, and they were all the kids. It was third graders. They were very excited about that.
You're currently finishing up your second term as the Fresno County Supervisor, and you represent the eastern portion of Fresno County. what specifically would
I
that be?
Do. I tell everybody I have the prettiest district of all. Mm-hmm. I've got the mountains, the foothills, the waterfalls, everything really from Clovis Avenue east all the way to the Inyo County line.
Oh.
So I've got Grant Grove area, the part that's in Fresno County, Shaver Lake, Huntington. It's just a beautiful district.
You've
and
got
a
all
lot
the
of the city of Clovis,
spots.
Too. Oh, my gosh. And we do camp. And when we camp, we're always in the beautiful 5th District. So it's good.
Good deal. Good deal. So we're going to roll back to where everything started. And your family farmed in the Kearney Park area. What type of product did they produce?
Yes, my family came here right after the 1900, after the Armenian Genocide. And we're on the 4th generation of farmers.
Oh, my goodness.
Right now. And grapes, almonds, cotton, alfalfa. And even one year, my dad planted sugar beets and got us out there dredging through the mud, picking sugar beets.
Uh-huh. So. Yeah, that's kind of a thankless job right there.
It sure is. We did a lot of those thankless jobs through the years when we were kids. I have two brothers. Mm-hmm. And so we got out, our first job, we picked grapes. And like I say, we picked sugar beets, whatever the machine left. We went through the mud to get what was left because we wanted to get that extra pound per acre.
Do you think that growing up on a farm gave you a different type of appreciation for Fresno County?
It's a wonderful life. Mm-hmm. Growing up on a farm, you know, wide open spaces, just out every day. It's a great life. I feel very fortunate. And I love Fresno County. My dad actually was a supervisor for the western part of the county. He was there for 20 years. He served on the Board of Supervisors for 20 years representing the western side. And now I've got the eastern side 20 years later.
So public service is a family business?
It is. It is. Between my dad and my husband, Chuck, we've been involved since 1978.
Mm-hmm. And what was it about going into public service that intrigued you?
You know, most of the job is helping people get through the process. You know, by the time they call my office, they've talked to one department, they've talked to two departments. Now they're frustrated and they call my office for help. Mm-hmm. And so it really is a wonderful opportunity to help people with a wide variety of problems they're having, either with the county, with their neighbor, with, you know, that, just to help people. And that's really what it's all about.
And how do you prepare yourself? You're talking about so many different types of things that you have to find a way to solve. How do you prepare yourself for being able to make a decision on such a wide scope of issues?
We address hundreds of different types of issues. Mm-hmm. That's what I like about the job. It is not boring. I
mean, you don't get the same day twice.
You don't. You never get the same hour twice. I mean, it's like just constantly new things, new topics, new complaints, new issues. And I have from the very first day, we get a very thick packet almost every week for our agenda. And I go through it. I go through it more than once. You know, I highlight. I have post-its. The joke is that I put post-its on all the questions and then I go back and ask the questions and get the questions answered. And I think just being prepared and learning the issues. Some people don't take the time to learn really a deep dive into the issues, but I'm pretty proud of the time I've spent. And, you know, I've spent a lot of time learning and looking into details. Mm-hmm. I've got one colleague that says, you know, you're just too much into the details. I said, well, you know, sometimes the details are where it makes all the difference. Yes. Uh-huh. And so I'm proud of that. I enjoy that. I never was much of a reader before I got this job.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. But, you know, it's a huge packet and there's a lot of reading and I've come to enjoy reading a lot more, too, now.
So when you're faced with difficult decisions, do you have a core group of people that you turn to for advice or that you bounce your ideas off of? I'm sure Chuck is probably one of those people,
Chuck,
but you know, other people that you feel confident that you can go to and trust that they will give you an answer,
yes,
even if it's not something they think that you'll agree with.
Yes. And they tell me, but you know, ultimately I make the decision that I think is right. Mm-hmm. And you know, you're not going to please everybody.
That's right.
The beast. You know, you're going to please some, you're not going to please some, but you have to always do what you think is right. So at night when you put your head down, you say, well, you know, I did what I thought was right. There was pressure for this. There was pressure for that. But I did what I thought was right. And I do have a group of people that many of them I've appointed to boards and commissions in Fresno County. And I'll call them if it's a water issue, if it's a land use issue, call them and say, hey, this is coming up. What are your thoughts? And they always, you know, I said, give it to me straight. And then, you know, I'm going to decide ultimately.
That's wonderful. Now, there was one story that we were having dinner with you and your husband, and I remembered you saying about a time when you when you're talking about the hectic pace of what your office usually is, where you had to go and work in his office for a certain period of time. Would you tell us that story?
Well, my husband, Chuck, is a justice on the Court of Appeal here in Fresno. The 5th District is stationed here in Fresno. And we had, I don't really remember if it was a, it wasn't a bomb scare, but it was a fire alert. It was something where we had to leave the building. So I picked up my big notebook, all the reading I had to do, my hours of reading. And I said, well, I'll go to Chuck's office. It's right down the street. So I went into his office. I started reading. I kept reading. And now it's 2.5 hours later. And my office called to say, hey, you can come back now. And he says, I slammed my notebook shut. I'm not sure I slammed it shut. And I said, how can you stand it around here? Nobody calls. Nobody comes through the door. I told him, I said, you know, you could die here. And if I didn't come looking for you, nobody would know. And I couldn't wait to get out of there because my office, there's people coming in and out all the time. The phone is ringing all the time. Someone wants your time. And, you know, I.
If it's quiet, that's when you need to worry.
If it's quiet,
right?
It's like, you know, what's going on here? The phones must be down. So there's no quiet time at the Board of Supervisors.
Right. But it's funny how we adapt to different types of environments to where that's the one you're used to. That's the one you're comfortable in. Even though if someone else walked in, they might say, how can you concentrate? Because if Chuck probably had to come and sit in your office, he would lose it.
Well, he came from a job where they gave him a 3x5 card and it had every 10 minutes. You know, when he was in the legislature, that's how it was. Every 10 minutes was scheduled for your whole day. And that's kind of how, you know, mine is. If you're in the office, they're just in and out.
You're
phone calls.
Fires.
Yeah, you're just constantly different issues. Mm-hmm. But now the job where he is a little more quiet, to say the least.
That's great. I love that. And so you had graduated from Central High School, and then you came to Fresno State where you earned your bachelor's in physical education. When you were growing up, what was your parents' attitude towards higher education?
Well, you know what? I didn't speak English when I started kindergarten. So we spoke Armenian in our home. We lived with my grandparents. Mm-hmm. My mother had gone to school. She'd gone to Fresno State. She was actually from Chicago, but came here, went to Fresno State and received her degree. And so I always knew I was going to go to college. I wasn't the greatest student in high school. I was more of the athlete. I really was. I mean, I played tennis in high school and spent a lot of time at the tennis courts. But I always knew I was going to go to college, and I always wanted to be a teacher. And so in my day, of all the kids that graduated from Central High School that year, I think there were maybe one or two that left town. One went to UCLA, and I don't remember the other one, but nobody really went away to school. I mean, you know, we're talking in the 70s. Nobody went away to school. And so we all knew we were either going to go to Fresno City College or Reedley College or come to Fresno State. That was just...
It's almost like you had a cohort without it being an official cohort.
Exactly. No, that's exactly right. And so I started here. I didn't go to City College first. Came in the 70s and actually graduated in 4 years.
Ooh, good deal.
I know a lot of kids don't do that nowadays, but actually graduated in 4 years and then got my 2 teaching credentials.
And you said you always wanted to be a teacher. Since you were so physical and played tennis, what was it about physical education that caught your attention to where that's what you wanted to have as your focus?
Well, you know, I just think it's so important. We sometimes, especially nowadays, with kids with their phones and the computers, and I see it with my grandchildren too, we don't get out and exercise. We don't get out and play. We don't get out and get fresh air. A lot of people don't.
And you need to have that.
And you
that
need
balance.
That. And I think it's so important. And, you know, it's been important through the years. And, you know, even hard work. Get out and get the exercise through hard work. And so I coached all sports. And I loved PE. I loved the athletic part of it. I actually have taught math and I've taught some English through the years. But, you know, I loved physical education. And I just think it's so important for everybody. And so I enjoyed those years.
And there's so many values that you learn when you're playing a team sport or about being disciplined and following rules that go along with physical education. And what I like about having, you said you taught all sports, is that exposing kids to things they may have never tried, even though, you know, they're grouching at the first time, oh, we're going to do this. But then they get surprised that they really like it, or they might find that they have a talent for it. But if it wasn't kind of forced upon them, they never would have even tried something like that.
You know, you learn a lot of wonderful life lessons in sports, in competition, just being out on the field, just working hard. And I think it's good for everybody. My daughter was a reader. She was a wonderful student and really didn't like sports that much. Mm-hmm. And my brother said, you have to play one sport. Just go do one thing.
Choose one
and get out there and get some exercise. And she did. She uh-huh. went out and got on the swimming team. So
what was it like when you came to Fresno State and you played tennis in college? I mean, that's taking it up to another level.
Well, it was different back then. Athletics at Fresno State has changed so much through the years and just the progression. But, you know, this was the early 70s and no one was recruited to play women's tennis. You know, we kind of recruited people ourselves just going around saying, okay, who's played tennis? And mm-hmm. I joke about it. You know, the criteria was you had to have played a little bit of tennis somewhere and you had to own your own racket mm-hmm. because, mm-hmm. you know, you had to have your own racket. And so we really recruited some of the team. We mm-hmm. had a good team. We were very competitive, but it's changed through the years. I mean, we would go out and get the van. We'd drive ourselves to the matches and then, you know, seven or eight of us would sleep in one bedroom mm-hmm. and then we'd drive ourselves back afterwards. And so that's what it was. And you had to have your own shoes, your own outfit, your own tennis racket in the 70s. But you know what? One of my best memories is, I don't know if it was 2 or 3 years ago, they actually invited us to Save Mart Center and all the women from the 70s. We got our letters because we didn't get letters back then. And
they
framed it. They put our dates, tennis, 70 to 74 with mm-hmm. my maiden name on it because I was collegian back then. And they presented 40 or 50 of us with our letters. And it was really, my grandchildren were there for that day. And that was just a fun, fun day.
So do you have that displayed in your office?
I do. I have it in my office. It's sitting right there.
Oh, I love that. And so was there a break in time when you were teaching and then you focused on your children and volunteering?
Yes. I taught for 2 or 3 years mm-hmm. and then we had 3 children in less than 4 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Which was planned because I thought, uh-huh. you know, if I've got to do PTA and Little League and all this stuff, it's good just to kind of get it
going at this job.
Exactly. And then we moved to Sacramento. Chuck got invited to join the governor's senior staff. So we moved to Sacramento and mm-hmm. I did substitute teaching up there. And we didn't have any family. So we were there 5 years. It was supposed to be 1 year. 1 year became 5 years.
Yes.
You know how that goes. And uh-huh. so I did a lot of substitute teaching then. And then that's really when we moved back to Fresno or through those years, I did a lot of volunteer work in the community just mm-hmm. for many, many different nonprofits. And I love that.
I see that you've been on a lot of boards with St. Agnes Medical Center, Fresno Area Crime Stoppers, Fresno County and City Historical Society, and the California State Capital Preservation Fund.
Yes, to name a few.
Wow, yes, yes. So when your time is limited and you're trying to choose to volunteer, how do you decide which organization you're going to give your time to?
You know, it's kind of how I decide as an elected official when my husband was in the legislature. And now mm-hmm. if we're going to go to an event, if it just mm-hmm. sounds like fun, mm-hmm. it would be a fun thing to do. It sounds like a fun event. Mm-hmm. And if I have a passion for whatever the subject is, you know, there's so many wonderful nonprofits out there. And I coached Little League. I was a Girl Scout leader. I was fans of football president. I mean, it just goes on and on. And it, you know, it was just always something that either my kids were involved with or something that I thought would be fun or something that was interesting mm-hmm. to me.
And you've also taught Sunday school for over 40 years.
I'm in my 40th year. I'm getting the children of children. I don't have any grandchildren yet, but I'm getting the kids of children I taught in the 80s, for instance. And our youngest granddaughter, Julia, she's 6, and I hadn't had her yet in Sunday school. And I was thinking about maybe stopping this year. And she says, Grandma, you haven't had me yet. And I said, So I have her this year. She's in my class, first grader. Aww. So we'll see.
Well, that's so sweet, too, when they're trying to be on their best behavior in that setting.
Well, I'm not sure. She's been the only one I've had to say, who asked you? And you didn't raise your hand.
Well, back to Chuck. You and Chuck got married in 1977. Did you meet here at Fresno State?
We did not meet. We were here at the same time. Uh-huh. We did not meet at Fresno State. Our years overlapped. I was telling Julie, I did vote for him for something because I remember seeing his name on the ballot and I voted for him. I'm not even sure what he ran for back then because I didn't know him.
Oh, boy.
But he went away to law school. I uh-huh. finished up here and started teaching. And I met him after law school. He came back. He had been in town about a year, a young lawyer in town, had his own practice, mm-hmm. came back and that's where I met him. My aunt set us up at church.
Oh, boy. I was going to say, did your families know each other?
No. I was from 6 miles west of town. He was from 6 miles east of town. Our families did not know one another, but my aunt set us up.
Oh, boy. At the time when you were elected to be on the County Board of Supervisors, that was a pretty tumultuous time with the economic downturn, and there were so many different difficult decisions that needed to be made. How did you adapt to public opinion?
Well, like I said earlier, you know that you can't please everybody. Mm-hmm. There's no question about that. And really, joining the board in 2009, I knew when I was running in 2008 that the next 4, 5, 6 years were going to be very, very tough years financially for the county. But they were tough mm-hmm. for everybody, federal, state, local level. And so I knew when I ran that there were going to be some very tough, unpopular decisions mm-hmm. that needed to be made. And I ran knowing that. Mm-hmm. And we did have to do some very unpopular things. But, you know, when it comes to the bottom line, we never toyed with bankruptcy. You know, some counties did. Mm-hmm. Some cities were toying with bankruptcy. That was never in the cards for us. Mm-hmm. And we made the tough decisions that needed to be made. There was a majority of the board that was willing to stand up. And, you know, it's not easy when you read, the Board of Supervisors must do this. Well, mm-hmm. but that must is not in the best interest of Fresno County and the taxpayers mm-hmm. of Fresno County. So, you know, turned it around, did some tough stuff, mm-hmm. but I'm very pleased with the way Fresno County is headed right now.
Is there any advice that you would like to pass on to a student that's considering going into public service?
Well, you know, I would say it's a wonderful field. It really is. If you are thin-skinned, I would say you probably ought to go do something else. Uh-huh. If you can't take criticism from even, you know, your friends and family, I would say go do something else. But if you're willing to work hard mm-hmm. and you have a set of values that you believe in and you're willing to move those values forward in a lot of the decisions that you make, do it. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. I'm
right.
not saying you have to be one or the other. Mm-hmm. If you love helping people, you love the idea of making decisions that really affect people's lives, even though they don't know it. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know how much the decisions that we make every other Tuesday affect their lives. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you're a good listener and you're willing to listen to both sides and then make the tough decision, mm-hmm. go for it. It's a great job.
That's great advice. So right now we're in the middle of an election that not many people have seen before. It's pretty unique. And you were able to serve as a delegate to 2 national political conventions.
I did.
What was that experience like?
That was great. You know what? It was one of the highlights of what we've done through the years. Like mm-hmm. I said, we started in public service back in 1978. Mm-hmm. I've been involved in a campaign every 2 years since 1978, either for myself, mm-hmm. my dad, my husband, other candidates.
That's fine.
I had 17 counties for a presidential campaign. Mm-hmm. I was responsible for 17 counties. But the conventions are really the highlight, and it's a lot of fun.
It looks like it. It looks like it from what I see televised. Now, ways that you have been active at Fresno State, you've been supportive of the Henry Madden Library Leadership Board, the Ag One Foundation, and the Arne Nixon Center for the Study of Children's Literature. You've also been a member of the Fresno State Alumni Association. I know that you're getting ready to have some free time on your hands. Are you looking forward to being more active on campus, or are you planning on going in hiding for a while?
Well, I'm serving through December 31st, uh-huh. and then I'm going to hide for a while until I decide what I'd like to do next.
Have a little bit of calm.
Everybody
right?
says, what are you doing next? I said, I don't know. Maybe I'm doing nothing. I don't know what I'm doing next, but I want to take a couple months and just slow down a little bit and get used to a little slower pace. I'm not sure that the pace has to be this fast forever. And so, but I have enjoyed my time here on campus. Uh-huh. I have been involved in doing some fundraising events mm-hmm. and just working with people here on campus for fundraising. And I don't know what's next. I really don't know. I don't rule anything out at this point.
I think that having that quiet time will give you a chance to see what you miss.
Well, I
because
think
there'll
so
be
too.
Some things that you will not miss for sure.
Well,
but you'll be able to see, you know, I really, now that I have this time,
I'm really not a quiet time person.
Right.
You know, there has never really been uh-huh. quiet time. So I'm going to see if I enjoy it.
Right. Well, I hope that you get to do some traveling and get to
we
spend
are.
Time with those grandbabies.
Thank you.
Thank you again for your commitment to the community and to our campus, and really for being a great role model for the possibilities that a student can look forward to in their careers. You've had so many different things that you've been able to do successfully, and I love that everything that you did, one of those roles would have been considered a success, but you've managed to pull it together and to do it while raising your family and doing it with your partner, your husband. And, you know, when I spend time with you, you're best friends. You know, it's obvious that you're best friends.
We'll be married 40 years next February. Oh. It's been a great, great ride. It really has.
So it sounds like you're not only the top dog in our hearts, but also for your family.
Well, thank you for joining us. Thank you, Mary. Thank you so much.
It's so nice to meet you, and congratulations again on your top dog recognition.
Thank you, Julie. Thanks.
Well, thanks again to our very special guest, Fresno County Supervisor and Fresno State 2016 Top Dog for the College of Health and Human Services, Debbie Pachigian. And of course, my co-host, Fresno State's First Lady, Mrs. Mary Castro. Thanks for joining us this morning, and please join us again next Sunday morning at 10 for another First Ladies Focus on KFSR. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents First Ladies Focus every Sunday morning at 10. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.